attachment. You've got attachment. Consider how we're enslaved by these things. And we're striving to rearrange the world so that I can keep my attachment. Because the world is a constant threat to my attachment. Everything keeps changing. So does this thing. It's all changing. Everything is changing. So is my friend. And my God, how insecure I am. He may stop loving me. He may go out to somebody else. Hey, wait a minute. And I've got to keep on making myself attractive to him because I've got to get him because somebody brainwashed me into thinking that I need his love. I don't. I really don't. Not in order to be happy. I don't. I don't need anybody's love. I just need to get in touch with reality. That's all. I need to break out of this prison of mine, this programming, this conditioning, these false beliefs, these fantasies, and break out into reality. And reality is lovely. Reality is an absolute delight. Eternal life is now. We're surrounded by it, like the fish in the ocean. But we have no notion about it at all. We're too distracted with this, with the attachment. And so, temporarily, the world does rearrange itself to suit our attachment, and we say, yay, great, my team won. But hang on, it'll change. You're going to be depressed tomorrow. Why do we do this? Why are we so hard on ourselves? And have you noticed all those negative feelings we have? You're jealous. Where does your jealousy come from? Look for the attachment underneath. Somebody is getting what you want and what you think you will not be happy without. You're anxious and frightened. You're getting paranoid. Your attachment has been threatened. See if you can understand that. I'll go slowly. You're getting angry. Somebody is likely to come in the way of your getting your attachment or your keeping your attachment. Or else why would you be angry? Because you're convinced you're not going to be happy without this. You're not going to be happy without that. You've got cravings. And so it goes on. All those negative feelings. Just scratch a bit on the surface, under the surface, probe under the surface, and the attachment will come to light. How about a little exercise? A couple of minutes. And it is this. Think of something or someone you are attached to. In other words, think of something or someone without which or without whom you think you are not going to be happy. Could be your job, your career, your profession, your friend, your money, or whatever. And say to it, him, her, I really do not need you to be happy. I'm only deluding myself into the belief that without you, I will not be happy. I'm only deluding myself into the belief that without you, I will not be happy. But I really don't need you for my happiness. I can be happy without you. You are not my happiness. You are not my joy. Boy, if it's a he or a her, he's not going to be too happy to hear that, you know. But go ahead, you could say it within the secrecy of your heart. Because you're making contact with the truth. You're smashing through a fantasy. Happiness is a state of non-illusion. Drop the illusion. Or you could try another exercise, if you'd rather do that. Think of a time you were heartbroken. You thought you'd never be happy again. Your husband died. Your wife died. Your best friend deserted you. You lost your money, or whatever. Think of the time you were a child and you didn't get what you want, or you lost what you had, and you said, I'll never be happy again. What happened? Time went on, and if you managed to pick up another attachment, if you managed to find somebody else you were attracted to, or something else that you were attracted to, what happened to the old attachment? You didn't really need it, did you, to be happy? That should have taught us, but we never learn. We're programmed, we're conditioned. Then I'll give you a few seconds to think, my, how liberating not to depend emotionally on anything. If you could get even 1 second's experience of that, you're breaking through your prison and getting a glimpse of the sky. Someday maybe you will fly. Okay, who wants to begin? Yes.
I was afraid to say this, but I talked to God, and I told him, I don't need him. My initial reaction was, this is so contrary to everything that I've been brought up. And yet I said, if he is the God that I think he ought to be, he is not going to imprison me. And that's where I left it.
All right. If you think that unless you get God, you're not going to be happy, this God you're thinking of has nothing to do with God. You're thinking of a dream state, of a thing, of a person. You're thinking of your concept. And sometimes you have to get rid of God in order to find God. Lots of mystics tell us that. When you drop your attachments, when you drop your clinging, when you drop your baggage, think of the baggage we carry. If I use the word happiness, you know what most... Gee, the amount of times I catch myself doing this. Am I happy? Thinking, I got a great film coming up tonight, and I got... What's the future got to do with it? What has yesterday got to do with it? But we're constantly somewhere else. As somebody said, my favorite place is somewhere else. We're always somewhere else. But to attain the asceticism and the delight of being here, now, and when now goes, let it go, then we will know what reality is, what God is. The concept is a help, as I will tell you later. But we've always to beware lest it become a hindrance. Joe?
Tony, aren't you really programming the process of deprogramming ourselves?
That's not a bad comment at all. That's not a bad comment. I think I would be if I'd be telling you how to do it. All I'm saying is, be aware. Be aware. There are two things. There is programming and there is awareness. And the two are opposed to each other. Where awareness comes in, programming dies. When you're listening to me, as I said to you on the first day, if you're just swallowing everything I'm saying, you're getting programmed. And lots of people do, you know. I'm a great brainwasher, I really am. Well, that's not quite accurate. The way I speak very easily lends itself to gullible people getting brainwashed. That's more accurate. But if you're neither resisting what I'm saying nor swallowing, that's wonderful. You're open. You're saying, I'd like to take a look at that. Somebody else here? Yes. Someone you desire greatly? Yeah.
And the only way to get past it is the role-playing. And is the role-playing help?
Yes, oh yes, oh yes. You begin by doing it in fantasy and role-playing. Yes. Yes, you'd better prepare your wife before you tell her this truth. Yes, I know. Isn't it amazing, though, that we have been so blinded by everything that we did not discover this basic truth? I remember how frightened I was to say this to an intimate friend of mine when I sensed it was true. I really don't need you. Period. For anything. I don't need you. I can be perfectly happy without you. Result. I enjoy your company thoroughly. There's no more anxiety, no more jealousy, no more possessiveness, no clinging. It is a delight to be with you. I'm enjoying you on a non-clinging basis. You're free. So am I. My, but this is like talking a foreign language to drug addicts. We've been drugged. We really have been. Took me many, many months to truly understand this. And mind you, I'm a Jesuit, brought up in the tradition of Saint Ignatius, whose spiritual exercises are really all about this. And I'd missed the point, because my culture and my society, not my religious society, but the society in India in general, society, had, I mean, you take it for granted. Jesus had friends. Wait a minute. What are we talking about? Because you know something? The moment you desire somebody in this way, namely, without you, I will not be happy, you cease to see that person. You're no longer objective. You're clinging. We begin to view people in terms of our attachment. If you're attached to appreciation, you know, I'm quite amused sometimes to see even seemingly objective people like therapists and spiritual directors, etc., say, great guy. You know, I really like him. And I find out later it's because he likes me that I like him. And anybody who attacks me, I don't like. Hey, so when someone's for you, he's okay. And when someone's against you, he's not okay. Then I look into myself and I find the same thing coming up every now and then. If you're attached to appreciation and praise, you're going to view people in terms of their threat to your attachment or their fostering your attachment. If you're a politician and you want to be voted in, how do you think you're going to look at people? How will your interest in people be guided? Who's the guy who's going to get me the votes? Who's the woman who's... And so it goes on. And if what you're interested in is in sex, how do you think you're going to look at men and women? If you're attached to sex. And if you're attached to power. And so on and on and on. That colors your view of human beings. An attachment destroys your capacity to love. What is love? Love is sensitivity. Love is consciousness. To give you an example, I'm sitting here listening to a symphony. If all I hear is the sound of the drums, I don't hear the symphony. What is a loving heart? A loving heart is one that is sensitive to the whole of life. to all persons a heart that doesn't harden itself to any person or thing. But the moment you become attached, in my sense of the word, then you're blotting out many other things. You've got eyes only for the object of your attachment. You have ears only for the drum. The heart has got hardened. Moreover, it has got blinded because you no longer see the object of your attachment objectively. You cannot be objective anymore. Love entails clarity of perception, objectivity. There is nothing so clear-sighted as love.